So we have Cindy speaking this morning, and I just love Cindy because she, if you've been around her, she just blesses whoever she is around with encouragement and love. And God has just given her a very large capacity to love people, but to love them into their healing that God has for them. She just has so much grace and mercy. She's so approachable, and it's just an amazing anointing to love people into the healing that God has for them. She has 3 children of her own and 2 grandbabies that are beautiful. So I want you to help me welcome Cindy.
Thank you. Thank you so much. Can I keep that?
Yes.
Yes, you wrote this about me. That's awesome. I'm going to put it on my wall.
Cindy loves words.
It's so good to be with you this morning, and we are going to go around the world, so I hope you're prepared. I just felt as I want to make an honest confession. My daughter, Kirsten, has completed her degree in life coaching, and so she's all about coaching, especially her family and friends. And I was sharing with her before our recent trip to Kenya that the one area that I just seem to lack confidence, and I think a lot of people do, is that public speaking. And in Africa, it's all about the preach. And she said, well, have you ever preached at your church? And, you know, I have here and there shared, and it's been wonderful. But like just me. I said, no, I, she says, well, you need to call up your pastor and ask him if you can preach on Mother's Day. So I let a few days go by, and of course, I think I actually was in Africa, and I thought, you know, I never did ask Ron if I could preach on Mother's Day. That would be good. I have something I'd like to say. So I texted him, and he texted right back and said, sure, and so here I am, and I'm going to share with you about some of the amazing women that I've met around the world who have rocked my world. And actually, their stories have made my heart bigger. They've made my heart bolder. They've given me courage, and they've just become my heroes. So I wanted to begin with a verse from Job 33, verse 4. The Spirit of God has made me, and the breath of the Almighty gives me life, which inspires me. And this verse spoke to me because it speaks about the breath of God. And I think when we're telling our stories, our testimonies, when we're relaying the gospel as it translates through our life, there's breath in it and there's life in it. And so I want to begin with the nation of India. And Joel and I went there in 2011, and we met many amazing people, and the women especially really stuck out to me as just the fortitude that they have, the inner strength that they have, the humility that they have, and the dependence on God that they have. And these women in India, unfortunately, when they grow older and lose their husbands and become widows, it is accepted in the culture that they're just turned out. And the widows are left on their own to create communities and housing and fend for themselves. And so we went to a home to minister to some of these women that we had heard about. And I honestly, on my way driving there, was feeling a lot of pity for them, a lot of kind of an ache in my heart for these women that had been turned out from their families and were on their own and very poor. But it was quite another story when I met them because, wow, they just rocked our world. And I think we might have a few pictures of them praying for our team. We came to pray for them, but they asked if they could pray for us. And they dug their fingers in our hair, and they just prayed in Tamil, their native language. We didn't understand a word they were saying, but from spirit to spirit, from deep to deep, they were interceding for our lives, and we felt it, and it was so powerful. And I think there's even one of Joel receiving prayer as well. There he is. Okay, just pause on that one. I love this picture. My husband is just so filled with peace in this picture because one little woman who lost her family all those miles away in the nation of India took a hold of him. She put her hands on his head and she transferred a blessing to his life. And I will tell you, since 2011, we have been richly blessed to visit many nations. And I can't tell you if that's what she prayed, but I wouldn't be surprised. She transferred an amazing blessing. There's also a woman who's wearing a red sari, and we met her. We had traveled a long ways. We'd been in the car for a couple hours. We arrived, and she saw how disheveled we were. And so here she is, and I can't remember her name, but I remember her face. And as I looked out at the young children that were sitting in the front in colorful clothing, I learned later that these were orphans from the tsunami that had hit in 2010. And she took them in. And they're just so precious. And she made them her own. And she took them into her home. And she fed them and clothed them. And look at them. I mean, they're beautiful. They're loved. They're cared for. And I was just like, wow, I'm really blown away. Although our house is a revolving door in our empty nest stage, and we seem to have people coming and going all the time, I still have great admiration for someone who would take in young children for many years to come and care for them because they were left alone after a disaster. And there's one more family in India I want to tell you about. It's a young family, a man and a woman, and I believe their son is with them in the picture. And they lived on a leper colony with active leprosy. And when we arrived, it was such a moving moment. Again, we caravaned out of the bus that transferred us, and there was a lineup of many people from the from this colony. And this is the son, who I just have to tell you, the peace that you see on his face moved me. His mom and dad live on a leper colony so they can care and minister to the lepers. And I was so touched by the fact that this family included their children in this mission, and their children were blessed. And that's when I knew, and that's when I began to comprehend that when you're in the business of building the kingdom, when you're on that adventure with the Father, he's going to take care of your own. He's going to bless your own. And so this lineup of lepers, and they greeted us, and many of them didn't have fingers, but their hands were together, and you're walking through this line, and I'm just telling you, it humbles you. It humbles you greatly to see what God sees all the time, to meet the families that he loves and knows, and somehow it makes your heart bigger. Okay, so we're going to move on now to South America. This was actually my first mission trip. I went without my husband. He was busy paying for my plane ticket. And this woman here, her name is Magdalena. And I arrived at this church, Randy McMillan's church. He's now gone on to be with the Lord, but he lived in Cali, Colombia for 30 years. He and his wife established a church, which is one of the roughest areas of Colombia. A lot of cartels. You've heard of the Cali cartels. And I just felt like, wow, I'm going to Cali, Colombia by myself without my husband. But of course, I was with a tour of people and we were escorted everywhere and it was very safe. But Magdalena met me and she just lit up. She lit up because I arrived with my quiver full of flags. I had banners and this was the first time I'd actually taken them with me. And she had had a vision and she didn't understand it at all. And this vision was she saw some flags from the U.S. like arrows shooting down into South America. And then when she met me, she realized that the Lord was speaking to her heart that this woman would be coming with these flags. And what I ended up doing was I deposited all of my 15-plus huge banners and I deposited them as a gift to this church, and even today when I visit the website, I see those flags waving. And see, God had that plan for me. I never would have recognized it had I not done it. And honestly, it wasn't hard. There was a green light, and I'm going to tell you about that green light. Because when you're called to do something that's bigger than you are, you're not sure where the money's going to come from, you're wondering if your family's going to survive, but there's the green light that's on, and it's flashing, and it's an invitation. And my friends, Carol and Bill Dew, Carol's gone on to be with the Lord, had ministered many years with Randy Clark, who has a healing ministry in South America, seen a lot of miracles, and this was their maiden voyage by themselves, and I knew I was supposed to go. And actually, it launched me into the nations in the most beautiful way, and I met so many wonderful people. So from Deuteronomy 32:11, it says, like an eagle that stirs up its nest, that hovers over its young, he spread his wings, he caught them, and he carried them on his pinions. That was just a beautiful picture of these wings of God, you know, flying from my nation into that nation. And since then, my husband joined me. I think we went 3 times together to South America. And sure enough, I had him by my side. And but I was a trailblazer, I will say that. So now we're going to go to Israel. Israel was the first trip that we took with the organization we now work with called Harvest International Ministries. And when we went to Israel, Joel and I had a rebirth of sorts. We were baptized in the Jordan River. And God just recreated our marriage. He birthed in us a ministry together that we had not yet known. He gave us a new beginning. And I love that it happened in Israel. I know some of you have been, and it really is walking where Jesus walked. It was quite amazing. But I want to share with you a picture of a young girl, and she's probably only 9 years old. And we just caught a glimpse of her by chance. She was playing with her little brother, a young Jewish girl, in the ruins that we had been visiting in the city of David. And they were just off playing. And he had his prayer tassels hanging from his shirt, and she had on a long skirt. So they were a traditional Jewish family. But when I looked at her face, here's what I saw. I saw Esther. I saw Hadassah. And I never learned her name. I never shook her hand. I never introduced myself to her. But to me, she was the hope. She was the hope of that nation. So pure, so innocent, so true. And it just took me back thousands of years to when one woman stood brave against all odds and risked her life to save a nation. So I don't know if we have a picture of her. She's quite lovely. And she's who I remember. John 3, 5, and 6. Jesus answered, truly, truly, I say to you, unless one is born of water and the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. That which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. So that was my heart experience in Israel. So now we'll go to Africa. Africa is the nation that my husband and I have had the joy of visiting 6 years. We just completed our 6th trip with Snake and Denise from our church joined us, and Patrick from Vista, and a couple other friends. And this woman here greeted us. We were walking across a big sand dune, and there was a crusade, and they had set up all these tents in the hot, hot sun, and people were under the tents, and they were waiting for the American team. And let me tell you, that feeling when you're walking and you see the crowds of people, and they're all waiting for you. Here's your prayer. You're just like, oh, Father, it's just me. Help! It's just me. But the expectation is so great, and the hearts are so open. And this woman right here, her name is Aisha, And she is a former Muslim. And she greeted us. We've known her now for 3 years, and she created a safe house for former Muslim women who are put out by their families and actually risk their lives to leave the Muslim faith and become Christian. By choice, that was their choice. That is what happened with Aisha. So she's a woman of great courage. This is a woman who I took her hands and she asked me to pray for her. She was having trouble with one of her neighbors. She was trying to build a fence and they were tearing the fence down and the goats were escaping. And she was just discouraged and beaten down. And I was on my way to the bathroom and she grabbed me and we had a moment. And I realized this woman has so little and she's trying so hard. And she has, you know, resistance against her. Thank you, God, for this moment to meet her, to take her hand, to even feel her pain and sense her courage. And something happens. Something happens when two people, two women from different nations come together and just listen to one another. And I listened to her story, and it was quite a blessing to be able to speak some encouragement and fortification into her heart. And it's a great privilege. There's so many women from Africa I could tell you, Africa, that I could share with you. There is another woman named Mary who works with the prostitutes trying to provide alternatives, lifestyle alternatives, so they can make things. There's Mary. And she's a woman of courage. She has created a safe house for these women to come and learn a craft. And 1 year, 3 years ago, in 2013, 3 or 4 years ago when we went, there was just this mass sweep of women coming off the streets. And Mary was just getting started in her ministry, and God had given her great favor. And these women were coming to her. They were receiving Christ. And this 1 year where we visited them in eastern Kenya in the Matwapa area, just a whole handful of them got baptized. And there you can see Joel. He's out in the water helping baptize these ladies, giving them a new beginning, a new start, celebrating with them the help that had come through Mary. And some brought their children and they were baptized too. And I remember looking out at Joel at one point. I was playing my flute. It was so fun. It was just this kind of random moment. I had my flute in my backpack, pulled it out, and I was playing Come to the Water, which is an old, old Christian song back from when I was a teenager, and playing it on my flute, and then all the women are coming to the water, and they're being baptized. And I looked out at my husband at one point, and a woman had just fell out under the Spirit. And he's trying to hold her up. And I was playing my flute. I couldn't really do anything. And I'm just like, oh, Lord, help him. Because, I mean, he was stunned. She was out. She was just out. And God was doing something amazing in her. But I think someone came to his rescue and helped him. But, you know, it's pictures like that that have changed my life forever. Knowing their stories, sharing in their pain, and also just exchanging the breath of courage. They're giving it to me as much as I'm giving it to them. And of course, Mexico is a nation that we visit quite frequently, and we have friends down there. Cindy Piscina and her husband, Jose Luis, have a church, and they minister in many different, and this is one lady from their church, Betty. I want to tell you about Betty. Betty's a walking miracle. She had a very rough life. She's been saved. She has the joy of a child. If you ever are worshiping with Betty, she'll be dancing with all the kids out in front. But this one day that we came and we crossed the border and we greeted each other, Betty was very downcast. And I said, What's wrong, Betty? You know, what's going on? And it was the birthday of her daughter who was in heaven. who had died, and she got very sick across the border. She was in California. Betty couldn't go see her. And consequently, her daughter passed away, and Betty couldn't attend the funeral. And so on this day, she was feeling the weight of that. And I just gave her a hug. And then I touched my earring, and I felt like God said, give her your earrings. I don't know if that ever happens to you. Weird stuff like that happens to me. So I pulled it out and looked at it because I forgot which ones. And these were pearls that my daughter had given me. And they were very special. And so I wrestled with it for a couple minutes. And I'm like, oh, she'll be angry if I give away these earrings, you know, she picked out for her mom. I mean, I think they were even a Mother's Day present. But again, that green light is blinking, and you just know it's an invitation to step into something. So I told her, I said, you know, Mary, and then I thought to myself, my daughter, I have her. Her daughter, she doesn't have her. Come on, you can part with these earrings. Well, I heard that she wore those pearl earrings every single Sunday to church. She was all lit up that it came from my daughter. And, you know, two moms came together with different stories, but there was a connection. And God gave us that connection, you know. So that was a wonderful time. This is Cindy, and she has a little friend here that she ministers to, and she brings gifts to. This little girl loves Hello Kitty. So anything Hello Kitty, Cindy collects and gives to her. And this is Ann Tubbs, who is the president of HIM, Harvest International Ministry, with her husband Mark. And she's praying over Tijuana. The woman on the right that you see with the Bible open is a leader in Tijuana. And so we went to a high place where we could look over the city to pray and make declarations. Declarations of life and hope and renewal and salvation and healing over this nation. And so I was there in that moment. And here's a team that we took a few years back. You can see Snake and Michelle are there and Lisa. And Jill's husband. Yes, thank you. So, okay, so there I am with one of my special banners, and doesn't it just look so great on her? She is a young woman, and she has two brothers, and they're leaders in Jeff and Judith Ruiz's church. They have a church right across the border. And I had that with me. And something happens to women. I've put it on women in Africa. When they put that on and stretch their wings, they're just so glorious. And we got to pray over her and her brothers. And they really hope to be leaders in their country. They don't necessarily want to travel anywhere else in the world. They have a heart for Mexico. So did you enjoy meeting these women today? They're so special to my heart. It's so great seeing their faces, because it's a personal connection that God has given me, and they're in my heart. And I wanted to share with you how important it's been in my life to break out of my one story, my story, the story of Cindy, my upbringing, my history, my life experience, to break through the border of that into the life of other women and their stories and their histories and their battles. There's a young Nigerian poet and author named Chimamanda Ngozi, and she has written a book, The Danger of One Story. And I listened to this, actually she created a speech, and she talked about how dangerous it is when we only have one story. Now, she herself was raised in Nigeria in a modest family, but they had a helper, a houseboy, and she said that her mother only told her one thing about him, and that was that his family was very, very poor. And she would send home food and old clothing to his family. And so Chimamanda got this idea of what poverty was pathetic. Until she visited his village one day, and she saw these gorgeous hand-woven baskets that his brother had made. And she had conversation with the mother and the father. And she herself is an educated woman, and they were keeping up, and they were very interesting to speak with. And she realized she had formed a stereotype. She only had one version for this young man, and really his world was so much bigger. And in listening to that, I realized that just the goodness of God has opened up my life to receive more stories than my one story. It's opened up my life to hear the stories of other women, other mothers, what their struggles are, what their dreams are. One of the things I ask the young girls oftentimes when we're in Kenya is, what are your dreams? And they always seem to act like that's a new thought, that they've never actually been asked that before. But they'll come up with something if you give them a minute or two. And it's just so empowering to step outside of your comfort, maybe just a little bit, and step into the story of another person. I think it honestly makes God really happy. And as we know that verse in Revelation that speaks of the power of our story, the power of our testimony is how we overcome. The provision of the blood of the Lamb who's brought salvation through his perfect life and perfect sacrifice, along with the story and the victories of overcoming from our own life. And I know that I have become more of an overcomer by knowing the stories of these women around the world. I also love to listen to people's testimonies, and I came across one from a very famous worship leader named Darlene Check. We sang this morning, Good, Good Father. If you want to get rocked, Google Good, Good Father by Darlene Check. And she's singing this song with all of her heart because she was diagnosed several years ago with cancer. And she had a battle with the chemo, and, you know, it took a couple years. She's now cancer-free with a whole new lease on life. And although she was such an extreme woman of faith, we went to hear her actually at the Hillsong Church in 1998, took our kids, and Shout to the Lord had just been written, and it was such an amazing, powerful time. And, you know, we were just overwhelmed with the boldness of Hillsong. And she even says in one recording, I believe it might be her last recording on her CD, she's speaking before a song, and she's saying how she hates cancer because she would pray for people with cancer. And little did she know, she had a lump at that time that a few months later was diagnosed as cancer. So she shares her journey, and she shares how she had to go into that secret place with God to receive a comfort. People weren't really helping her. In fact, a lot of times she would have to cut them off because they would say things like, well, if it's his will, I pray that you overcome this. And she's like, yes, yes, it's his will that I live. And she had to make a boundary, because she couldn't allow anything negative into that vulnerable place. And that's when she really pressed into the comfort of God. And I think today on Mother's Day, that is the theme that speaks the loudest to me of what God would want to say to us. From Isaiah 66, it says, rejoice with Jerusalem and be glad for her. All you who love her, rejoice greatly with her, all you who mourn over her, that you may nurse and be satisfied with her comforting breast, that you may drink deeply and be delighted with her bountiful bosom. For the Lord says, behold, I extend peace to her like a river, and the glory of the nations like an overflowing stream. And you will be nursed, and you will be carried on her hip and playfully rocked on her knees. As one whom his mother comforts, so I will comfort you, and you will be comforted in Jerusalem. And when you see this, your heart will rejoice, your bones will flourish like new grass, and the powerful hand of the Lord will be revealed to his servants. But his indignation will be toward his enemies. God is actually offering us a sustenance, a fortification, a strength, a nurture to just simply receive from him. El Shaddai, receiving his comfort is such a fortification against the enemy. And as I listened to Darlene's story, I realized that this is what I aim to do when I'm in a pressure cooker situation, when people I love are in pain or hurting, with that testimony hasn't yet unfolded into overcoming, when you're hitting that wall over and over again. God, I need your comfort. I need that sustenance that you offered. In 2 Corinthians 1, 3 through 5, it says, yes, we will suffer along with Christ, but we will also be comforted. And that comfort by which we are comforted, we will comfort others. And I thought, I don't cash in on the comfort like I need to. I mean, yeah, I've had a little suffering in my life, and you have too. And I've had trauma, and you have too. But have I cashed in on the comfort that God is offering to fortify me and strengthen me and out shout whatever the enemy is up to? That comfort is more powerful than all that stuff that we deal with, that our enemy wants us to look at. And God's saying, no, come to me. I have a 4-month-old granddaughter. She is the most beautiful picture of this comfort. She does nothing. She says nothing except her cute little coos. She poops. She sleeps. She eats. And she drinks. She drinks. She nurses. That's what she does. And I believe that this verse is saying that's who God wants to be for us. But we grow up and we become responsible and we need to be strong. And somehow we overlook our truest identity is in the identity of being a receiver, being a child and receiving from God. And I want to end with a story, and it involves my friend Nisi over here. You see, we received prayer before we went to Kenya. And Jim Mumper prayed over both of us a similar prayer. And he said, you go in the power and the authority of the Lord, and he will speak through you. And he told me later it was almost like a prophetic prayer, like, boom, it just fell and out it came. And I needed that. And I got to watch my sister one day in Western Kenya in a little village called Kakamega. I got to watch the fulfillment of that prayer when she stood before a little crowded church. And it had been raining all afternoon. And let me tell you, when it rains, it pours in Kenya for like an hour. And we had had lunch. We had the morning session. We had friends from the UK who had joined us, who live now in Kenya. We were so excited, and we're going to have this afternoon together, and it's raining so loud on the tin roof. It's like, I'm not talking through that. This is crazy. And I heard the Lord say, you don't have to. Just receive. And he had been working this message in my heart, and I knew exactly what he meant. He meant just to receive. And I'm telling you, all the expectation in that room was for, again, for a good preach. Get up there and give a word. And I said to them, I don't have a word. I'm not released to bring a word. Right now, what's happening, if we're going to be in the integrity of what the Spirit is saying, we're going to receive from God this rain is like his outpouring of nurturing, fortifying milk to our bones. And we're going to take it in and we're going to receive. And we did that for a long time. I mean, it seemed like forever. It was probably 15 minutes. I had a word prepared. I was excited about it. But God wanted us to have something of himself that they hadn't tasted before. And I looked out afterwards because I'm like, okay, now what? You know? And I saw Denise. And I remembered the word that Jim had spoken over her. And she got up and shared her story. I mean, real. She talked about her struggle. And it was so in the flow of what was happening. And there was so much oil in the room. You know, the oil, the anointing, when you're just kind of in sync with the Holy Spirit and he's in sync with you. And I looked at her and I was so proud of her. And here's what happened. The Kenyans rose up and they stretched out their hand to Denise and they began to pray and intercede for her, these powerful prayers. And she said she could hardly stand up. And the people who were supposed to bring the word were receiving the prayers, and it was all backwards and upside down. And I got to see who my sister really is. Something beautiful happens when we allow ourselves to receive in that way. Our truest self comes out. Our truest self, without the stuff that we collect along the way. And I saw with brand new eyes this woman of God who just basically showed up. And because she showed up, God rained down his oil on her and flipped the meeting all around. And before we knew it, we were dancing up a storm. Just go to my Facebook, you will see. I mean, it was a hootin' and a hollering celebration because something downloaded from heaven. And I didn't really bring it. She didn't even really bring it. It was that comfort of God that came. And Kakamega is a region that is heavy. There's witchcraft there. It's heavy. It's kind of hard to navigate through that heaviness. But here's how we overcame. By simply stepping into the comfort of God. That was a weapon. And I learned something that day. I learned that, yes, we have the sword of the Spirit and the shield of faith. We have this armory. But we also need to be filled up with the milk. We need to be fortified and have filled up with the nurturing milk of God's comfort.